The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You gotta bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Tuesday. It is a winter wonderland here in New England. I feel like I'm in a snow globe. And drive safe, be safe, and enjoy the show, because we got a lot planned for you today. The number, if you're holed up at home and you're cozy and you want to call in, you want to weigh in, the number is 844-500-4242. And we have a really, really fun, informative show planned. Obviously, hoping to take a lot of calls on the big story that is still Silicon Valley Bank. And I don't think that's going away anytime soon. More is coming out about the mismanagement of SVB. And I really like, you know, we had Vivek Ramaswamy on yesterday, and I like how he pointed out, and he wrote a piece in the New York Post about this as well, that it's not a bailout of the depositors and it's not a bailout of SVB. It's a bailout of Silicon Valley, because a lot of these people who invested run these startups. You know, they're the masters of the universe. And so they're getting a pass. And we're going to kind of get into that. I saw Larry Summers tweeted out that the bank committed, and this was his tweet, quote, one of the most elementary errors in banking. Borrowing money in the short term and investing in the long term. One of the most elementary errors in banking. And with all the oversight we have and all the regulations, nobody was able to catch this. They were too busy attending Safe Spaces and Diversity University to maybe raise a red flag. Throwing Christmas parties. I saw that about First Republic. There was a story yesterday about how First Republic was spending. They were going hog wild on all these parties and all these perks. And that to me is always interesting when a company goes belly up, not to say that about First Republic, but when a company's struggling and then you find out what they were spending their money on and just how generous they were
struggling
with the perks and the parties and the fun.
It's the entertainment 720 model.
Yes. The Biden administration is continuing to assure the American people that the banks are safe and that the SVB depositors will be made whole. But of course, keep in mind, the taxpayers will not shoulder the burden of that bailout, because it's not a bailout. I really liked, there was a great, you know, I should have brought it in here, but I was focused on the opening. There was a really good tweet from Britt Hume, and he summarized it and said, yep, the taxpayers will not be dealing with this through the strategic plan of magic. And that's what I kept thinking of all yesterday. I'm like, maybe there's some formula or there's some math thing that I don't get, because I was a theater major and math is not my forte. I never do math on the air. You might notice that. Maybe there's something I'm not getting. But when I saw that tweet, I was like, no, that's exactly it. They're hoping this will be taken care of with a little bit of magic, some unicorn dust, and this is going to be fixed. Now, of course, I'm always interested in the media spin. I'm always interested in the narrative that is being put out there. And the mainstream media cares a lot less about holding anyone accountable or asking the right questions as they do about forming the right narrative for Democrats. How sad is that? Really let that sink in for a second. The journalists see this behemoth of a bank go down. Now, if you were, I don't know, a real reporter, you might look at that and go, ooh, we've got a big story here. There's got to be some people who dropped the ball. There's got to be some interesting background on the investors and what happened. But instead, people's knee-jerk is, how can we steer this clear of Joe Biden? How can we make Joe Biden look okay? How can we make the Democrats look blameless in all of this? How can we point the finger toward Donald Trump or towards past administrations of Republicans? That's really what the only thing they care about. And then meanwhile, you've got this huge piece of cake sitting there that nobody wants to go near. So it's up to conservatives and a couple people from the Wall Street Journal to kind of break down this collapse, one of the biggest collapses in American banking history. I wonder, Howie must have had to say the word collapse a lot yesterday. We know that's one of his bugaboo words. I'm wondering. I think I got it down pat. I don't think I got to add it to my whiteboard. Collapse. Collapse. But yeah, so the media is going nowhere near this. They want nothing to do with it. And unless, of course, they can blame Trump. So I got a couple headlines for you today, okay? This is from Vox, not Fox with an F, Vox with a V. Trump-era banking law paved way for Silicon Valley Bank's collapse. NBC News, Silicon Valley Bank collapse puts new spotlight on Trump banking law. This is from the Boston Globe. Silicon Valley Bank failure sparks blame game over Trump-era regulatory rule.
And everybody's always blaming me for everything.
Business Insider, Bernie Sanders blames Trump-era policy for Silicon Valley Bank run.
Blah, 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 blah.
Now, I got this idea this morning. I was driving into work and I thought, you know, if it comes down to Trump and Biden on the debate stage, everybody knows what my big problem was with Trump during the debates in 2020. And I'm not the only one. It was very obvious to anyone watching it. I was getting texts from plenty of people while they were watching this debate. It was the first debate. People said, why isn't Trump letting Biden talk? What is he doing? When someone is digging their own hole, you don't take away the shovel. You let them keep digging. He wouldn't let this dude talk. And I was like, dude, if you just let him talk, people will see that we can't have him in the White House. But Trump couldn't help himself. Did better on the second debate. But on that first debate, I was ticked off. I thought he really dropped the ball on that. Now, I think if it ends up being Trump versus Biden in 2024, what Biden should do on the debate stage is he should say, listen, whether you vote for me or not, I'm going to be the one to blame for everything for the next 4 years. You might as well have me in there in the chair. You know, rather than have everything happen because of me and this guy, this scarecrow man is sitting in the chair, put me in the chair. That way, when I get blamed for everything, I can at least be there taking the punches. Because it's incredible how Biden flies to California. I got to go to California. You know, that's what he tells the reporters. I got to go to California. He had some fundraiser to go to, which we'll get into in a little bit, because he delivered quite a whopper at that fundraiser regarding Jimmy Carter. And we'll talk about it. But that's what he does. He blames Trump and then he flies to California. And it's just pathetic. Now, another part of this, because it's not just the media, it's the Democrats. They're all part of the same crew. And I saw a story today. It was very interesting to me. And I think part of the reason I was so fascinated by this is because yesterday we talked about Congressman Eric Swalwell from California and how he did an interview about banning Fox News and not allowing the troops who are defending our country and defending all of us to watch Fox News because of misinformation. In other words, they say mean things about me and my ex-lover, Fang Fang, so I want to make sure that the military can't watch this program. Really sick stuff. And it was on the heels of Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, saying, I don't like what Tucker Carlson's saying. I think Rupert Murdoch should pull him off the air because I don't like that he's showing tapes from January 6th that actually paint a different picture of what happened that day. And I thought to myself, I'm like, they've always been pro-censorship. If you're paying attention, you know that. But they're really getting blatant about it. They're very proud of the fact that they are Orwellian, that they want to censor the truth. And there was a fascinating piece in Red State about this senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly. He's a Democrat from Arizona. And according to Representative Thomas Massie, who I think Massie's Kentucky, Massie told The Public, which I think is just a publication, that they had a big Zoom call yesterday about SVB, about the bailout. And according to Massie, Mark Kelly asked the representatives from the Federal Reserve, from the Treasury Department, and from the Federal Deposit and Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, if they had a way, I hope you're focusing here, I hope you're listening to this, because this is what I wanted, this is what I want callers on. Mark Kelly asked if those three organizations had a way to censor information on social media to prevent a run on the banks. That was his question. Like I said, you'd think a question like this, maybe you get in there and you'd say, how the hell did this happen? You know, who was supposed to be regulating this? How'd you drop the ball? Give us an explanation. How are you going to cover all these depositors and it's not going to affect the taxpayers? What happened to the 250K limit? Who gives you the right to just throw that out the window? No, no, no. Instead, they get in the Zoom meeting and they say, do you guys have a way to censor people if they start saying bad things? Do you guys have a way to stop the American public from finding out what's really happening? Because we might need that. Because people are angry and they're going to get to the bottom of it. It's pathetic. Now, Massie did say, and I'm starting to think this is a cop-out from Democrats, that he kind of couched it that foreign actors would be doing this. So if you want to censor any source that you don't like, if you want to censor any journalist you don't like, if you want to censor, let's say like an Alex Berenson, or a politician you don't like, or a commentator you don't like, the easiest way to do that is to throw in the idea that foreign actors are involved. This is the new way for Democrats to get whatever they want. Call it misinformation and suggest that maybe there's a possibility that foreign actors are involved. So rather than say, hey, I want to censor people on Twitter who are telling the American people the truth about what's happening with the bank, you frame it like, I'm worried there's foreign actors who are putting out troll bots and disinformation, and it's scaring people, and it's causing a panic. And then you get a pass on that, when really, it's just trying to censor information. And the part of this that ticks me off so much is that just let us find out. We'll figure stuff out on our own. Like this idea that these idiots in our government need to protect us. And that's not really what they're doing, but that's how they frame this, that they need to protect us from finding things out. Oh no, we're going to make sure that you don't read anything that's going to upset your little heart. Your little heart can't take no more. You might go to the bank and try to get money out. We can't have that. They try to engineer what's going to happen based off what they think you can handle. You know what it actually reminds me of? It reminds me of Dr. Fauci. Remember when Dr. Fauci said, oh, you know, the herd immunity is this percent. We have to get to X amount for herd immunity. And then later he said, it's actually this amount. But I just didn't want to tell you guys it was this amount back then because I didn't think that people would be able to handle that information. They get to decide what we can handle. And so that's what the Democrats on this Zoom call are asking. Think of the questions you would ask if you were on a Zoom call with Janet Yellen and all these people telling us the banks are safe. The banks are safe. You'd have a couple good questions lined up, right? The Democrats are concerned about how are we going to censor people who are saying things we don't like about this so that we can stop a bank run. And the media is cheering it on, naturally. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this. We got a lot planned for the show today. It's snowing. It's cold. We're going to have so much fun. I can't wait to hear from you. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
They guaranteed the deposit, all of them, at Silicon Valley Bank. And what that really means, and they won't say this, and I'll come back to that, what that really means is that they have guaranteed the entire deposit base of the U.S. financial system. The entire deposit base. Why? Because you can't guarantee all the deposits at Silicon Valley Bank And then the next day, say to depositors, say at First Republic, sorry, yours aren't guaranteed. Of course they are. And so this is a breathtaking step, which effectively nationalizes or federalizes the deposit base of the U.S. financial system.
That was former Treasury Secretary Roger Altman talking about this on CNN. And this was the tweet I was referring to earlier. So this was from Jeff Stein from The Washington Post. He tweeted, breaking, Treasury announces all depositors protected by FDIC, says no cost will be borne by taxpayers. Britt Hume responded, it seems this will be done at no cost to the taxpayers by the economic theory known as magic. Magic, man. And I thought that this administration didn't have that magic. You know, they always say, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have a magic wand. What am I supposed to do? And by the way, just one other thing before we go to the calls. One of my texters, I love these texters because they always hit the nail on the head. One of them said, Grace, 774 said, Grace, the obvious follow-up question to KJP is if they knew Trump changed this bank rule, why did they not change it back in the 2.5 years Biden's been in office? Well, that would be 774. The obvious question to ask if you were a journalist, but we don't have any journalists in the White House press corps at this point. We have trained SEALs. We have lapdogs. We have laughing hyenas who just eat up whatever Joe Biden throws at them and stare at the back of his head in awe as he scuttles away. But we do not have reporters. So unfortunately, that's as far as your question's going to get. Is the Grace Curley Show. And I just don't think KJP listens to our program. Steve, you're up next. Go ahead, Steve.
Grace, I think that was a rather poor comment. I mean, what's wrong with seals, dogs, and hyenas? I think you're very prejudiced, actually.
I apologize. Everybody knows I love animals. That's my bad.
Okay, well, make sure you keep it right then. Grace, I wondered if you'd noticed that Elizabeth Warren is off script and is not blaming Trump for this bank fiasco, but she's blaming Jerome Powell, the chairman of the, the chairman of the Fed.
The Federal Reserve, yeah.
He was appointed by Biden. But Warren seems to be going off script. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, so I saw a headline. I think it was, I don't want to say it was the Boston Globe because I really don't check on the Globe all that often. But I did see a headline that said Trump and Elizabeth Warren will say the same thing about this crash and they'll both be right. So I do think that Warren is going a little off script. But to be fair,
Powell was there during Trump. Biden did not appoint him. He just re-upped him.
The script, though, that they want these Democrats to follow, even for Elizabeth Warren. I mean, nobody loves to blame Trump for everything more than Elizabeth Warren, but it gets a little bit tough. Like, it gets a little bit out there to keep saying every single time something bad happens, it was the guy from 2.5 years ago fault. You know, we have an interview here with Biden with Cal Penn from The Daily Show. I've never really heard of him before. I think he's an actor. And they're going back and forth, and he's laughing. Biden's laughing about how Trump doesn't know that he lost. He doesn't know that he lost. Seems like you guys don't know that he lost. I think he knows that he lost. I think he knows that he lost. You don't seem to know that he lost, because every single time something goes wrong, you say it was his fault. Yet you reversed all his policies. Yet you did everything the opposite of what Trump would do. Except for any time there's a disaster, then you pull out the Orange Man bad card. When we come back, we're going to play some sound for you, and we're going to continue to talk about the fallout from SVB and other banks. Do not go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
So I got a phone call from my true story from my eldest granddaughter saying, can we have a family meeting? You probably are aware of it's around here. We have a tradition in the Biden family. Any child can ask for a family meeting. I don't know if it happened, but you take it seriously.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sounds like such a wholesome group, doesn't it? The Biden family meeting. I wonder if they're going to have a Biden family meeting about the fact that the Treasury has finally given the House GOP access to the Biden family's suspicious activity reports. You think there was any family meetings about these SARs? Could have saved Joe a lot of trouble if they had a couple of these family meetings. You think there was a family meeting about the crack pipe photos?
No.
Can't you just picture Joe Biden at this family meeting? Honey, why did you take the photos in the tub? Tell me that. But they're going to have a whopper of a family meeting now, because according to Stephen Nelson for the New York Post, one of my favorite reporters, an actual reporter at the White House, believe it or not, the Treasury Department has agreed to let House Oversight Committee members review suspicious activity reports pertaining to President Biden's family. Now, before you go giving the Treasury too much credit, the department should have handed these over right away. There shouldn't have been a 2-month dragging of their feet, a 2-month delay. But because Joe Biden's a Democrat, this is what happens. Everyone is trying to CHA, because it's not cover your behind. They're trying to cover his behind. So the records submitted by Wary Banks to the U.S. government may contain new bombshells on the First Family's murky foreign income and the millions reaped by first son, honey, Hunter Biden, and first brother. We're getting very, very generous with these first titles. Okay, let's just call him James Biden. First brother. Give it a rest, okay? In countries where their powerful relative held sway, after 2 months of dragging their feet, now this is Comer, who we hadn't heard from in a while, the Treasury Department is finally providing us with access to the suspicious activity reports for the Biden family and their associates' business transactions. Can you? I don't know if it's too early for me to play this game. It's only Tuesday, and I hate to use it too soon, but if you don't use it, you know, whatever. I'll just do it. Imagine if this were the Trump family and they had a history of suspicious activity reports. How quickly would the Treasury have handed those over? But now they're letting the committee come in and review these, and they have to be on camera. Like, for some reason, the committee has to be on camera when they're handling these documents, probably so they don't plant anything, you know, or they don't put out any disinformation. But it says, for over 20 years, this is Comer, Congress has had access to these reports, but the Biden administration changed the rules out of the blue to restrict our ability to conduct oversight. Now, it goes into a lot of things you guys have probably already heard of, you know, the Tony Bobulinski of it all, the Chinese company where Hunter was making tons of dough. But in case you want a little refresher, I thought this article did a good job of giving everyone a recap. Previously on The Most Corrupt Family in History. According to bank documents we've already obtained, we know one company owned by a Biden associate received a $3 million wire from a Chinese energy company 2 months after Joe Biden left the vice presidency. So that would have been right around the same time the Penn Biden think tank was revving up.
Think about what you'd think about.
The think tank that we've all come to know and love. The think tank that brought you ideas like ruining the country and opening the border and wreaking havoc on the economy, all brought to you by the Penn Biden think tank. Soon after, hundreds of thousands of dollars in payouts went to members of the Biden family. We're going to continue to use bank documents and suspicious activity reports to follow the money trail to determine the extent of the Biden family business schemes, if Joe Biden is compromised by these deals, and if there is a national security threat. I would say yes, yes, yes to all of those. Comer added, if Treasury tries to stonewall our investigation again, we will continue to use tools at our disposal to compel compliance. Now, Jamie Raskin revealed that Comer issued a subpoena to Bank of America for 14 years of bank records relating to the trio of Hunter Biden associates. Raskin indicated that the bank subpoena pertained at least in part to Hunter and James Biden's relationships with CEFC China Energy, a now defunct company that was reported to be a cog in Beijing's Belt and Road foreign influence campaign. CEFC paid Hunter and James Biden $4.8 million in 2017 and 2018. Well, when you got a guy like Hunter, he's such a talent. He's a once-in-a-lifetime talent. You know, he's not the kind of guy you don't pay $4.8 million. So I guess that tracks. But when I first saw this story, I thought, you know, they're going to go through this. They're going to find stuff. It's not hard. I don't think, based off Hunter's history with this laptop, leaving it places, filming himself, having sex and all sorts of things, the scarf, the jock strap, he doesn't seem like a dot your I's, cross your T's kind of guy. I would even say he seems a bit sloppy. So I have no doubt that there's going to be plenty of emails back and forth. There's going to be plenty of dots to connect. A heck of a lot more dots than we had when we were trying to connect Trump to Vladimir Putin. There's going to be plenty of dots. But then I started to think, like, what needs to be in these suspicious activity reports? What needs to be in these investigations for the media to admit that this is a problem? And I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything that could be in these reports or these investigations that would cause the media to hold Joe Biden accountable. And that's
sad. That's the truth.
That's sad. But it's more than just this news for Joe Biden. It's a tough news day for him. Inflation rose 6% in February as the Fed mulls more rate hikes amid bank chaos. Again, New York Post. The CPI, which Joe Biden told us last week, he said it comes out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Not really sure. Well, the February reading of the CPI rose, inflation rose 6% compared to the same month 1 year ago. On a monthly basis, prices increased 0.4% compared to January. Core inflation, a measure that excludes food and energy prices, rose 5.5% year over year. Now, Joe did an interview last night. I really don't know how much of this I can stomach, but beyond talking about the Biden family traditions of calling meetings at the kitchen table that they take very seriously, he also did a lot of bragging. You know, he bragged about this wonderful economy that he's created, how everything is so perfect now. We should all be so grateful. And how, of course, because it all comes back to the former guy, how he inherited so much of this. Can I get cut 14, please, Jared?
But my focus is just stay focused. Focused on the things that matter. We've got to deal with the climate. We've got to deal with civil liberties and voting rights. We've got to deal with issues relating to economic growth. Look, in this period, I inherited, I think it's fair to say, a gigantic mess economically and politically.
Of course.
Of course, Cal Penn says. Of course you did. Of course you did. And that's why we brought out the smallest violin to play for you. Because you were so brave. You are dealing with so much. And to think that yesterday you had to get up before 9 a.m. to talk about this stupid bank that you had nothing to do with. It just seems...
My focus is just stay focused.
Can't you just picture Kamala Harris being like, hey, 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 that word salads are my thing, sir. And I have nothing else going for me. So don't you dare try to take that away. My focus is to stay focused. That sounds like something out of Kamala Harris's wheelhouse. Get your own material, bud. Hey, just to switch gears here really quick. Because
Biden plagiarizing again.
That's kind of his thing. I would be remiss if I didn't get to this story at some point. I don't know if people have heard what's been happening at Stanford Law School, but this is kind of a feel-good story. Because I often talk about the woke younger people and how nothing seems to wake them up from this ideology that they're following, that they're brainwashed by. And at some point today, we will talk about the meltdowns over the pipeline in Alaska, because that is causing some serious temper tantrums. You know, they got everyone to move from the Supreme Court crying about how their student loans aren't going to be canceled. And they said, tantrum team, assemble. We've got a new batch of issues. Put the student loans on hold. We got a new thing to cry about, and it's happening in Alaska. Report to the base ASAP. They bring on all the crybabies, and they're going to cry about something new, how the world's ending and how they're so sad. And they have climate extinction illness and all these other things. But this story actually brings me a little bit of hope. And I think we could all use a little bit of hope. So there was a situation, and I'm reading here from Red State. But let me just kind of summarize it for you. There was a situation at Stanford Law, where a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals judge named Kyle Duncan was set to speak. He was attempting to deliver a speech to the students there. And there, of course, was, you know, a heckling session that then went on. People started freaking out. This is what a lot of college kids do now. They don't like that someone's there to speak. So rather than just not go, rather than just not attend the event, I don't know, maybe go to a bar, maybe do a keg stand, whatever people do in college, maybe go for a walk. No, they show up at the speech and they scream bloody murder until the person has to leave. Because college kids are all about free speech, right? They're all about fighting the power. This is how they do it. They just scream and cry until whatever space they're in becomes a safe space.
In my safe space.
My safe space.
So there was a screaming and heckling situation with the students there. And the judge was kind of like, you know, shoulder shrug, asked an administrator to intervene. Now, the administrator was Tieren Steinbach, who is the Associate Dean for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, DEI, something you hear a lot about. So what did Steinbeck do? This administrator who this judge is saying, like, hey, help me out here. These kids are out of control. Steinbeck instead piles on and launches into a 6-minute tirade claiming that this judge was, and here's the quote, literally denying the humanity of people. Literally. So what's his crime? Bob Hoge writes, he refused to retroactively change court records to reflect that child porn enthusiast and repeat sex offender Norman Varner decided after his trial to identify as female and demanded to be referred to as Kathy Jett. Now this judge, Kyle Duncan, said no to the sex offender. Said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so this is what is causing this meltdown at Stanford Law from these students, is that this judge is literally denying the humanity of people by not letting a sex offender change his gender on his court records. So Steinbeck, who's supposed to be the adult in the room, jumps in on this too and starts, you know, going on and on and on about how, you know, he's the worst person in the world. But here's where it gets good. The Stanford Review is a student-run independent newspaper. And the students wrote a piece about this and basically said, this woman, Tieren Steinbeck, should be fired. Because the school claims to care so much about freedom of speech. And this is how she handled this situation. She made it all about herself and she acted like a complete fool. And so the students wrote, they said the apology also said that Stanford would take steps to ensure this does not happen again. Firing Dean Steinbeck is a good start. The university's apology will be completely meaningless unless concrete actions are taken to rid the administration of anti-speech zealots. So as crazy as it is that this even happens in the first place, there's something really nice knowing that these students looked at this and said, this isn't right. This shouldn't be happening. This judge was mistreated. Came here to talk to us, and this is how we treat people now that we disagree with? I don't know. It restores my faith a little bit. And actually, I like the way Bob wrote this at Red State. He said, it would appear that some Stanford Law students at least are getting an education, or rather, haven't allowed Stanford to make them less intelligent than they were upon arrival. That's probably more accurate, the second one. It's almost, I know you can't tell right now because it's snowing out. It's very cold, but we're heading into spring. And that means, for me at least, that it's grilling season. That means burgers, hot dogs, delicious, juicy steaks. And you know where I'm getting all of my meat. I'm not going to go to the grocery store. I'm not going to wait in lines. I'm not going to get the bottom of the barrel stuff that costs you an arm and a leg. I am getting all of these delicious things delivered right to my door with Omaha Steaks. And it's the perfect time for you to discover something new, to try something new. Plus, we got a great deal for you. So with 50% off site-wide, grab all of your favorites like perfectly aged tender steaks, ocean-fresh seafood, juicy burgers, incredible air-chilled chicken, and decadent desserts. Plus, when you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code GRACE at checkout, you'll get an additional $30 off your order. It's the perfect way to get fired up and spring into something special. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE at checkout. And don't forget to tell us what you get, how you cook it up. I love hearing those stories from people. It makes me really happy. It's omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. You're going to want to hurry. The 50% off site-wide sale is only happening for a limited time. So don't miss your chance. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code GRACE at checkout. Get that $30 off when you shop their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required. We will come back with your calls. And there is a new piece out. Guess where? I know I keep relying on them today. But hey, if you put out the best stuff, you're gonna get some attention on the Grace Curley Show. This is from the New York Post. Obama official, Hillary donors, improv actor. Meet SVB's board of directors. Ooh. This is going to be fun. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
This is great. The New York Post is breaking down the 12 directors who are on the board of Silicon Valley Bank, and you would never think that with these minds sitting on the board, with these beautiful, sophisticated, and I'm just going to go on a limb and say thrice vaccinated people, that we could see a collapse like this. I'm talking people who went to a shrine to pray after Hillary Clinton lost the 2016 election. That's how focused they were. To quote Joe Biden, that's how focused they were on being focused. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $149.99 a night on weekdays and $179.99 a night on weekends. Or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. So book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is how much cash do you keep in your house? Over $500, over $5,000, over $50,000, or none?
Yeah, we're thinking about this because people are getting paranoid now about the banks. A lot of people are taking money out. I keep none. I'm not a cash girl. I wish I was. I think people who carry cash is king. But it's not my way.
51% say none. 33% for over 500, 13% for over 5,000, and 3% for over 50,000.
Oh, I want those 3% to call in. We need to hear the story on where you're keeping it. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk about the SVB Board of Directors. This is going to be very, very fun to go through. And I just got a text from a friend who said, do you think the Biden family had a meeting, one of these special meetings, when Hunter started hooking up with his late brother's widow? We could do a whole segment on what family meetings happen around that kitchen table, under that ceiling fan. We'll be right back.